Turn with me this morning to Daniel chapter 7, beginning with verse 13. As we go beyond the malaise that man has made, and we come into God's glorious kingdom that is to come. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. He came with clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. We remember in Philippians, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then it declares his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. When God created man, God had eternity in mind. We live upon the earth for a short period of time. Our journey here on the earth is a time of testing, a time of proving. And by our relationship that we develop with God here as we are now on the earth will determine our eternity. If we love the Lord and love to serve the Lord and give ourselves to him as his servants, if we surrender to his authority, to his lordship in our lives, then he will honor us with the blessings of that eternal kingdom of God, which we have already surrendered ourselves to. But if we show ourselves rebellious against God, against the authority of God, if we show that we have no desire or interest in obeying or serving the Lord, then he also will grant that request. And you will live in eternity apart from God, but suffering the awful consequences of a life of rebellion against God. Now, when a person chooses to rebel against God and against the laws of God, they bring upon themselves destruction. Even in this life, they begin to see the destructive effects of sin that will continue on into the next life. If you choose to serve God, you see the joy, the benefits, the blessings of serving God. That also will continue on in the next life. So this life, we pretty much determine the future. Whether or not I'm going to live in the kingdom of light and life, God's kingdom, or I'm going to live in the kingdom of death and darkness, I am making those decisions while here. And God will respect and honor the choices that I make. Now, in Daniel's vision in chapter 7, his dream, he saw the subsequent kingdoms of man. And we see the kingdoms of man are marked by violence and by destruction. And he sees the kingdoms of man ending with a particularly blasphemous man who blasphemes God and turns against the Jews who are classified as the saints of the Most High. This man will be opposed to God and everything that is of God. He will be opposed, so opposed to Jesus Christ, that he will be known as the Antichrist. Now, man has been in rebellion against God from the Garden of Eden. One of the very first actions of man was that of disobedience and rebellion against the commandment of God. Now, God knew that in the fruit of that tree in the garden, there were destructive elements. There was probably a bacteria that would create a breakdown of the body cells that would cause a deterioration in mutant cells breaking down ultimately. The body was created marvelously and wonderfully perfect. And Adam lived in a perfect body for a period of time, perfect health. No sickness, no disease, no weakness, no infirmities, no decaying teeth, no glasses. He lived in a perfect body that was so designed to reproduce itself over and over again. The cells reproducing themselves and the body continuing on in perfect health and strength. There was a tree in the midst of the garden. It is called in the scriptures the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God warned Adam, don't eat of that tree. In the day that you eat of it, you'll begin to die. There will be those processes that will bring on the aging process and death. Not only that, there will be an immediate alienation from the lordship of God, because in eating of it, it will be an act of rebellion against the law of God. Now you say, why would God ever put that tree there? Why would he allow man to be tempted? Well, God wants a meaningful, loving relationship with you, and how does he know that you really love him? If there is no opportunity for the exercise of your choice, then choice is invalidated. Why do you have choice if you don't exercise or you can't exercise choice? And so God had to give an alternative, an attractive alternative. And man chose to disobey God, to doubt the word of God, and to eat of that tree. And we read the tragic consequences. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed unto all men for all sinned. And the day that he ate of that tree, the processes of death began to set in on the human body, the aging processes that would bring death. Tragic. The consequences of sin. But God had warned him that that would be the consequence. He ignored the warnings of God. When God created man, God knew what was best for man. And he still knows what is best for man. And so God has set down rules for us. Rules whereby we might have a healthy, happy life. And God knew when he set down these rules that if we would violate these rules, they could bring unfortunate kind of consequences upon us. And so God was seeking to protect us from self-destruction. God forbid man to do those things that were hurtful, those things that were destructive, those things that would bring pain and suffering. As you look at the laws of God, many of them were just purely hygienic laws. Important for physical strength and the maintaining of your physical body. Many of the laws were dietary, a good diet, a healthy diet, forbidding those foods which would be bad for a person. Many of the laws were in regards to our relationship with one another. In order that man might live in a healthy environment sociologically, so that you could live a life of peace, a life of tranquility. I was talking with a fellow yesterday, and I'm not going to tell you where he's from because you'll all be wanting to move. But he said, where he lives, and it's actually here in the United States, he said people don't lock their doors when they leave their houses. A lot of them don't even have locks on their houses. That there is such a strong Christian influence in that community that it's just, you know, you don't have to lock your cars and put, you know, bars on the steering wheel and alarm systems. And there is no alarm business up there, security business, because people just trust one another and they don't even lock their houses. Well, that's the way God wanted us to live. God didn't want you to have to be fearful when you walk down the street, fearing that somebody might drive by and take a pot shot at you. God didn't want you to be fearful when you sent your kids to the store that someone might try to entice them into their car. Or that you would have to fear going out of the mall at night that someone's going to assault you or rape you. And God set the rules and the laws whereby we can live together in peace, in harmony, a good life, because God wants his people to have a good life. God loved us, and he gave us the rules. And then he also gave us the rules by which we were to relate to him. Because having the good life entails a right relationship with God. And that's where it all starts. That obeying God, that surrendering to the purposes and the plan and the will of God, there's where the good life really starts. And so he set these rules, he set these laws. And history clearly demonstrates for us how that the nations that will live by these rules are blessed by God. And how when man honors God's laws, there is freedom and there is liberty. We also see by history when nations violate the rules that there comes tyranny, slavery, conflict, and multitudes of social problems. And the history of the United States is a case in point. We were once known as the land of the free and the home of the brave. We were once even known as a Christian nation. And we believed that men was endowed with certain inalienable rights to life and to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. We were free to own property and to develop that property. You may think that you own your home today, but think again. The government disagrees with you. The government believes that it owns all the property. You say, oh, no, that's communism. Well, wait a minute. The government actually gives you the privilege or the right of leasing your home and property from them. And twice a year, you have to send in your lease payment. They call it property taxes. But if you fail to pay it, they will by force come and drive you out of your house and take it and appropriate it and sell it. And you have no recourse. Now, that's just saying we own the property, we will lease it to you, and you continue to pay the lease and you can live there, but once you cease, then we will take it from you. You cannot believe the abuse of authority that we've encountered in trying to build this small office addition onto the church. No wonder the building industry is almost dead. It's so difficult to get permits and so costly, and then they hassle you every step of the way, and they discourage you from even trying to build. We're becoming regulated to death. There isn't really freedom. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we've seen that abuse of power. The true purpose of government is to preserve the good. But now the government is beginning to preserve the evil. We used to have laws to protect us against obscenity. The laws now protect the obscene. We used to have laws protecting us from pornography, but now they protect those who produce the pornography. We used to have laws against abortion, but now they protect those who desire to have an abortion. We used to have laws against homosexuality, and now there are laws that grant them special privileges over the rest of us who are straight. We used to have laws that made divorce difficult, and now all we need to do is to say, I'm incompatible. And look at the result in our society. There is a total moral breakdown. The gangs are ruling the streets. The school classrooms are out of control. Homosexuals can disrupt people who seek to worship God, screaming obscenities to those who are entering the place of worship. And sexually transmitted diseases are ravaging our society while they demand that the government spend our tax dollars, billions of them, to find a cure for their viruses so that they can continue their perverted lifestyles without the worry of contracting AIDS. The outlook is grim, and I don't see any hope for its improvement, especially in the next 4 years. Now, the Bible foresaw these terrible consequences of man being governed by sin. And the Bible predicted the very things to happen that are happening to us today. This whole social moral breakdown, these things were all predicted in the Bible. Should man turn his back on God and go after his own ways rather than the laws of God? Paul said this, know that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is going to be the end result of man's rebellion against God. Have you seen some of the things that are happening? Have you read or seen on TV the accounts of some of the things that are happening in our modern culture today, some of the inhumanity to fellow man, to children, and you say, how can a father do that to his own child? And our minds just cannot conceive a person doing that without natural affection. It's a part of the whole breakdown. As the righteous judgment of God begins to fall, in the book of Revelation, we read that they repented not of their worship of devils or of their murders or of their drug abuse or of their fornication or of their thievery. They just blaspheme God because of the judgments that are coming, but they don't realize that these judgments are the inevitable consequence of the lifestyle they have chosen. They bring them on themselves, natural consequences of throwing over and casting aside the law of God. The outlook for this world is extremely bleak and dark. There's only one bright spot in the future, And that's what we read about in Daniel chapter 7 today, as the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and he was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. Jesus said, speaking of the final morass and horror that man's rebellion against God is going to bring to mankind, he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall they see the sign of the Son of Man coming with clouds and great glory. God is going to establish over the world his kingdom. Jesus Christ is going to come again. This is the plain teaching of the scripture and the promises that God has given to us, which give us hope for the future. His kingdom is a righteous kingdom, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. John wrote, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hey, that sounds so good to me. The promise of the future when Jesus Christ reigns, when God himself dwells among his people. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. The things that have been brought upon man by sin will be gone. The former things passed away. Now, the kingdom of God will be closed to certain groups of people. People who are guilty of these things will not be allowed into the kingdom of God. Why? Because these are the things that have brought destruction upon mankind. These are the things that have caused the many problems that we are seeing in our world today. And if these things were brought into the kingdom of God and allowed in the kingdom of God, they would soon bring the kingdom of God to the same kind of uncontrollable situations that we see in our world today. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you find yourself in this classification, you'll find yourself outside of the kingdom when God gives to his Son that authority to rule over the world. Ephesians 5:5. For we know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, sexual impurity, idolatry, drug abuse, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So take a warning. Who then will enter the kingdom of God? We know who's outside, who's inside. Those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ and have acknowledged him as their Lord. Those who have surrendered their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and are obeying and following him, following the rules that he has set, submitting themselves to be ruled over by him, because you see, that's what it's all about. It is the kingdom of God. But what is a kingdom? It is a lordship, and it is the allowing Jesus to be Lord over your life. You have already entered into the kingdom of God. By rebelling against his laws, you have already set yourself outside of his authority, his rule, his sphere of rule for your life. And if you have set yourself outside of the sphere of God's rule in your life, then God will only confirm upon death or upon the return of Jesus Christ the decision that you have made in declaring, I will not live by God's rules. I will not submit myself to God's laws. I will do my own thing. I'll live as I please. And God will confirm that. And you will suffer the consequences that God has warned you about in living a life after the flesh and giving yourself over to your own fleshly lusts. It's going to bring destruction and damnation. But living by God's rules will bring you the full, rich life of joy and blessing, happiness and peace. So it's up to you. You can't have both. They are mutually exclusive. You cannot live in the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And if a man says he has fellowship with God, and yet he walks in darkness, he doesn't even know what the truth is. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, as the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sins. It all depends upon your relationship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you surrendered your life? Have you yielded to his kingdom now? Are you abiding now by his authority, allowing his authority and lordship in your life? Or are you in rebellion against him? You are actually setting the course for your future and determining your own destiny. But let me warn you, the world is going down the tubes rapidly. If you can't see that, you're hopelessly blind. If you can't see the result of sin today, you've got your head buried somewhere. The world is on the way down fast. And the kingdoms of man have just about run their full course. We're about to the bottom of the barrel. And the hope, a beautiful, bright hope, is that when man's kingdoms are wiped out, God will establish an eternal kingdom of the his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And you, as his child, will enjoy the blessings of his kingdom forever. Father, we thank you for the kingdom that you have promised. The reign of Jesus Christ over the earth. And we thank you, Lord, that we can surrender today to his kingdom and allow him to reign over us. Lord, we feel like we're aliens in this world in which we live. We see what's happening, Lord, and we feel like we don't belong here. And Lord, we do pray that your kingdom will come, and that your will shall be done in earth even as it is in heaven. Lord, hasten the day of your kingdom In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.